Hello, my name is Jonathan Grzbowski, and I'm talking with Derek Champagne, and we are talking about how to execute your vision.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Jonathan Grzbowski today is our guest. He describes himself as a rogue risk taker. I look forward to talking about that. Turned entrepreneur and national thought leader in business development and digital marketing. He's got this cool new company. He's a co-founder of Penji, which is described as an on-demand graphic design membership without limitations. And Penji helps you achieve more with unlimited graphic design at one flat monthly rate, and all powered in their easy-to-use platform. Jonathan, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Derek. Honored to be here and excited to share some value today with your audience.
You and I have gone back and forth over the last 6 months or so trying to figure out how to book each other's schedule, so I'm glad we got you here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I want to start at right at the beginning. I like our listeners to get to know who we're talking to. So tell us about Jonathan as a person. Tell us about you early days and what got you to where you are now.
Yeah, sure. So I'd say overall, today, present day, I'm a positive person that is hardworking and wants to just genuinely help people. So back in when I was 14, I started my entrepreneur career very similarly to a lot of people that are probably listening to this show. And I can say the one thing that I did and that I learned at a very early age are two things. So my 14-year-old entrepreneur self started a lawn mowing business. And I was mowing lawns for, I'd say, 80 hours a week, just constantly mowing lawns out in the sun. And the two things that I learned from that experience was, number one, the what it takes to work hard and what you have to do, the fundamentals of just working hard and being outside and sweating. So I learned an incredible amount of discipline and work ethic based off of that first learning experience. Right. The second thing is the value of a dollar. I would go through every time I would receive the payment from mowing the lawn. And when I went out and I bought something, I would always equate it to, well, how many lawns does this take in order to pay for this particular thing? And is this three lawns, is it worth mowing three lawns in order for me to buy this one video game? And sometimes it was worth it and sometimes it wasn't. But I always equated it to that type of like, well, this is what I have to do in order to do this. And is it worth it? So those are the two things. And just to kind of fast forward everything, I worked for Apple. I started a digital agency, very similar to yours. And I could say in full confidence that we were really good at the delivering of the elements. And we were really good in terms of quality, but in terms of service, it was always hit or miss. Mm-hmm. And so we created this tool in order for us to scale internally. And the tool inevitably became what Penji is today. And so now we're sitting here with a 10-month-old company, over 300-plus customers and counting. And I'm on cloud nine because going back to the roots of what I stand for as a human being, which is helping people, now more so than ever before, we're solving a problem. And that problem solving is so much fun because you're learning something new every single day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yes, we're not a digital agency, but we understand the challenges. We work with our digital partners. And, you know, here's something that stands out for me, and I've read some about you before this interview, but, you know, it's harder to scale at the level that you were talking about. And you talk about that sweat equity and how the dollar, you know, a lot of agencies that haven't figured out scale, a lot of businesses in general, that dollar equates exactly to that sweat equity earned. But you found a way to build a subscription model, which is enviable, and a lot try or think through it, but don't actually execute it on. Tell me about the difference now of having a subscription model where you're able to focus on that one thing as opposed to trying to do the customer service at a different level in an agency model.
So I can only say what speaks for us And I'm not going to sit here and say that a recurring revenue type of business model is the ultimate and best solution, but you have to figure out what works for you. And for us in particular, it was extremely exhausting having to basically go out and what I say, beg for money. And you're constantly going to meetings with people. You're constantly networking and moving the shaking hands, kissing babies. Mm-hmm. And you're just doing the grind over and over and over again. And quite frankly, it just became exhausting. Because you get to a point where you're like, I'm putting so much effort in meeting these people, and the meetings, they go really well in the very beginning, but then they kind of teeter off once you kind of get back to your office and they forget about you. And that could be a testament to my networking abilities and our networking abilities and sales abilities as a company, but we found that there was really no solution and problem that we were solving. We didn't have a secret formula, very similar that, and you and I talked a little bit off air about your formula, but we never had that, like, that thing that made us sexy, so to speak. We were just like a generic business like everybody else. And then we kind of saw the opportunity here with Penji, and we saw the idea that, well, what is the one problem that a lot of businesses have, especially agencies? And that's finding a quality designer that's on demand, and you don't necessarily have to hire them. You don't have to onboard them. You don't have to waste that precious time for a small business or even an agency where you usually spend about 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even a month or so, just getting this person used to your style. And so what if there was a company or a service out there that automatically was embedded into your company the minute that you signed on? And that was the philosophy that we had when we created Penji.
I love it. I love that you made that pivot. You know, I think it's so important. I'm having gone through that myself this year, and I've been public on the show about the pivot we've made. I talked to you about it off air. Yeah, I'm teaching about it next week in Nashville. It's tough to make the pivot. It's hard to do, especially the longer that you're in business or the longer you get stuck to that, to your identity as your business. But how are you able? I know you were developing it internally, so that helped because you were developing an internal scale tool. But what was the process like with your mindset, with your team, to say, hey, we're about to make this major pivot and go from being a digital agency to having this product that's a subscription instead?
Oh yeah, so I have a good story, controversial, but I want to be able to speak to the one at the first part of the question first. And I think, again, I'm speaking for myself. I've probably pitched and messaged hundreds and thousands of people asking for feedback, saying, "Hey, do you know somebody that can use X or Y and Z?" And I think I've cycled through 3 or 4 different types of businesses in order to land on this last, in order to land on Penji. And I think from a personal aspect, it is a lot of like self-reflection, because you're putting yourself out there, and here you are preaching about one product, and then now you're like going all in on this other, and you're thinking like, well, how are people going to, are they going to judge me based off of this? And how are they going to think about me when I reach out to them, knowing that like here are these different things that I'm trying to sell, whatever. Hopefully you can kind of see where I'm going with that.
Yes.
And so from a personal aspect, I kind of just shut it all out and I just didn't give a crap about it. And so if people are going to judge me or judge all of us for trying to make a name for ourselves and to like have a life filled with prosperity and achieve the things that we want, it takes looking like a butthole for here and there. And then what I realized is once the idea, the business became successful, everybody forgot about the things in the past. So it's not a matter of like, if you put yourself out there regardless of the situation, you become numb to the negativity, and the negativity eventually becomes positivity once you're able to show results. And for us at Penji, we've been able to do that. From the team perspective, and this is a very controversial thing, but I like sharing this story because it is so real and raw. So the question was something along the lines of, how did you change your internal team to think about this new business when they were working on an old one? We sat down with every employee. And at the time, I think we're right now we're about 37-ish, give or take. And so 37 people. And before we did this, we were about like 8 or so. So what we did is we sat every single team member down. And we told them about their role and their position from the old company. And then we fired them on the spot. Hmm. And it was myself and my co-founder. We did this. And we fired them and said, you're no longer with this company. You're no longer with this agency anymore. That is not who you are. That is not what you do. This is no more. You're not about this. Mm. And it was dead serious. Like, we were so serious about this to the point where tears were shed and conversations were had and questioning and a lot of other things. And it was really raw and emotional. Mm. And it got us emotional too, because we're like, these people are giving their blood, sweat, and tears for us, for our dreams, our everything. Right. And here we are kind of crushing that in that moment. Hmm. But the minute that we fired them and we all felt that pain together, we then rehired them immediately under Penji.
Wow.
And that shedding of the skin, although was so needed, it was so needed in ourselves. And I can tell you right now, it was the pivotal point in our defining moment in business was that moment, because we became a family. Before, it was like workers and, you know, they did the job. We all did the job together. We were very tight. But then that moment, we became a family and we look out for each other and we do so many things together. Now, to this day, we are a well-oiled machine. Everybody knows their role. Everybody knows their place. And we're working as a unit to provide the solution to the masses. Hmm.
That's awesome. But that's tough to do. Thanks for being raw and sharing that. We've had Brian Scudamore on our show before, who's the CEO of O2E Brands, the 1-800 Got Junk, One Day Painting, You Move Me, Shaq, Shine, some of those. 5 years into his company, he had to fire all 11 of his employees. They did not get rehired back. And he said, it's my fault. I've built this wrong. I'm sorry.
And
within 6 years, his company was doing over $200 million. So he went from being stuck to getting unstuck. There's a commitment to that. Obviously, taking care of your team, but you've also got to do what's right for the vision and for the company. Talk to me, and we'll talk just a minute about the accelerated growth that you've experienced and what you attribute that to, but talk to me about executing on your vision. That's what you started to say you're going to talk about today. I love that. It's top of mind for me as we've ramped out our vision for the next 5 to 10 years in our own agency. What does that look like for you to stay focused? Because I see you out there. You're hustling. You're working hard. You're working smart. How are you executing your vision? What do you recommend for our listeners? First, tell me about having a vision and then executing.
It took us a long time to find a vision. Hmm. And I think a lot of businesses, I'd say maybe starting, definitely starting out, but even businesses that have been well established, you kind of go into this business and you create this business plan if you so choose to do so. And you say, like, this is what I stand for as a company. And this is what we want to do. And this is how we want to do it. But you don't realize that when you're first starting out, you don't have the customer base to really indicate what your vision is. And if you're a growing business and you think you know what your vision is, well, have you interviewed your customers in order to find out what they want? Because your vision doesn't matter. It's what they need and what they want. And you need to base your vision off of, or your mission off of, servicing them. Hmm. And so it took a while in order for us to get to understand ourselves, to understand our brand, what we want to do and what we stand for. But executing your vision, to me, means staying narrowly focused on moving the business forward at all times. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a huge, giant leap. It could just be a small step. And I think for us at Penji, we're really gritty. We're hardworking, as you mentioned, and I appreciate that compliment, but we don't mind getting our hands dirty. Hmm. And we don't mind putting in that extra effort in order to amaze our customer or our potential prospect. And so we're in the comments, we're in the news feeds, we're there right by our by the side of our customers. And so the vision is constantly just doing good work, putting that energy out there, and just staying narrowly focused on their on the person's particular goal. So to add on to that, we all have goals that we set out for ourselves every single day, and we try to do the things that matter most in the day. And I think a lot of times entrepreneurs and even employees and team members, they get sidetracked because they do the easy things first. Yeah. And so we're really we try to harp on the fact of like, well, are you doing the things that matter, or are you just doing something that fills your time? And so us constantly doing the things that matter the most, even though it's extremely difficult to focus on that one thing, that moves the ball forward, the momentum, and that allows you to execute your vision.
It's absolutely great advice. A couple things. One is, you know, again, top of mind for me is we've had this pivot, and I'm seeing what you did so successfully, and I love seeing this success story and how you're going to continue to grow. For us also, we looked, if you know, good to great. I talk about often about the Stockdale mm-hmm. paradox and being brutally honest about where you're at, but having that faith and vision that you're going to get to the other side if it's a good vision. And that has been a great mindset for me. But there was a realization for myself too after a decade of being an agency owner and a thought leader that mm-hmm. I hadn't just earned my place. I had to roll up my sleeves and be hungry again, or be even more hungry and be willing to do that, go the extra mile, and like you say, get your hands dirty. It was a pivotal moment for me to decide if I have it in me, and I did, mm-hmm. and I did, and I'm gritty and I got it. But it was a moment I had to make. So what? Something else that stood out to me that you shared is, you know, earlier you said we were asking our customers questions to refine and define what this product was going to be, what our approach is going to be. But you also were able to tune out some of the negativity. And so I think that's important, is you weren't saying not to listen to anybody. In fact, I believe I met you through a Facebook messenger chat as me being the CEO of an agency, and you were out there hustling yourself.
Yeah.
Building relationships, sharing the product, jumping on the phone. And that's inspirational to me, and probably stays top of mind for me as we made our pivot, going, look how the hungry these guys are. And you know what? If you were my direct competitor, you're not. We've used your services. But if you were, I should be nervous if I'm not doing the same thing, because you're out there. And that's a good lesson for our listeners too. If you have competition out there that's hungry and is willing to listen to the customer and grow, you better look out, because doing it like Jonathan's doing is a great way to get feedback and earn customers and build a great business.
Well, I appreciate that greatly. I think for us in particular, it's just never staying in one place, because once you become complacent, your approach to life is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I think something for me personally, every time I've ever achieved any amount of success, and that could be like a good sales day, or it could be a feature in, you know, a podcast or something like that, I kind of look at it and I accept it in that moment, and I think to myself, like, this is a great opportunity, I'm really blessed. But then I get right back to work. So yeah. I don't harp on it for too long, which I think could probably be a strength in that aspect. But so when we first started, we knew that this was something, that there was something there, because we actually obtained customers without any type of like digital platform. So we were doing servicing Pen. At the time, it wasn't even called Penji, it was called something else. But we were servicing people just through our emails and phone calls. And so once we knew that, we were like, okay, like, if once you add some type of software to it, it's just going to get better. Right. So we serviced that. And then what we did was we surveyed about 150 people, and you were one of them. So, and just like going through messaging and saying like, hey, I think this is something that's really, beneficial. I'd love to get your feedback. You're an agency owner, or you're a firefighter, or whatever it is that you're trying to target. Do you think that if this were to be built, would it be worthwhile for you? And if the answer is yes, then you kind of put them on a list and say, well, when you build it, send it to them, and then you have your base of customers. But I mean, that's one strategy. Another strategy is just send it out to all your friends in order to get feedback. And we got, again, over 150 people that filled out this survey, and they were intrigued by what it is that we created because it solved the pain point for them. Right. And then I think we converted close to 30-40% of the people that actually filled out the survey. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but I think the overarching theme is you have to be curious. And you have to care about like the feedback that you're trying to get. And some of the feedback is good and some of the feedback is not so good. And you can kind of filter the crap out. But right. Regardless, you still build a relationship with somebody. And here we are 6+ months or so. Now I'm on your podcast and you're going to be on mine. And there's a relationship here. So it starts with the fundamentals, the basics.
And thanks for sharing. We've got just another minute or two. So I want to hit a couple things. One is quickly tell us about some of the growth. I mean, you've got over 300 customers now. I believe you hit 8 figures. Is that correct? In that first year and up for Business of the Year award. Just give me some of the highlights. It's okay to brag because I want to hear about it.
Yeah, sure. So maybe 8 one day, but right now, I would say it's a 7-figure business. Yeah. And we grew from 0 customers in October 21st, 2017. And then you mentioned the number that we are around today. And we have over 37 people. We're based in Camden, New Jersey. So we're doing this in a relatively small town. So it's not like we're in New York or anything like that. Yeah, I mean those are the highlights. We changed our website probably 5 times, and constantly just getting feedback and looking at the data. I think the biggest takeaway I would say from the past several months is that we're now a more data driven company, and so when we look at our data and we look at our numbers, and you know, we have a ton of people coming to our website now due to SEO. Why are they there? Who are they? How long are they staying for? Are they clicking on the things that we want them to? And then if they aren't, then we need to change the website and redesign it. We're lucky enough to have and be designers, so we can do that type of stuff. But just constantly looking at where our customers are coming from has been a godsend for us, because now we know how to invest in our company once we're able to see that, oh, 15 people came from Facebook, 20 people came from SEO, whatever it may be. And then it's just going all in on that one strategy that we know is going to work.
Love it. Thanks for being so open with us today and sharing your story. How do we learn more? How do our listeners learn more about you and your product?
Yeah, if you like what I'm saying, if you believe in the same things that I believe in and we believe in at Penji, just head over to penji.co. It's PENJI.co for more information about unlimited graphic design for your business.
Awesome. Jonathan Grzybowski, co-founder of Penji, PENJI.co. Thanks again, Jonathan. I look forward to seeing the growth that's happening, and I love it. Watching your success is an amazing case study for growing a business.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.
Derek Champagne here, host of the Business Leadership Series, and I'm inviting you to join me every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. right here on this station, where I interview world-class leaders who share their principles for success. Learn more at businessleadershipseries.com.
The Business Leadership Series is brought to you by The Artist Evolution, an aspirational agency creating memorable brands and marketing campaigns. Learn more at marketingstrategyhero.com.